that He died on that cross. We know that He was buried. And Lord, we know that He was dead. They wrapped Him. Father, they wrapped Your Son in burial cloths and put spices on Him. They knew He was dead. And 3 days later, Lord, what we're celebrating today, Resurrection Sunday, Lord, He rose from the dead, and we believe that. And we're here because we believe that. And Father, we pray now that as we open Your Word, that You would speak to us, that we would hear from You. And Father, I pray especially for those that might be here that really don't have a relationship with You, that really don't know the depth of the love that You have for them. Father, we pray that You would speak to their hearts today, that You would bind the enemy and that You would open their hearts. Father, be glorified now as we turn to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is, Jesus Will Meet You Where You Are. Now, too often, and in so many ways, people get the wrong idea about God. You've probably heard lots of wrong ideas about God, right? That are like totally against what the Bible said. And even Christians can fall into that. They can imagine and then portray God to be someone that He's not. And I've heard some believers say, God will only reveal Himself to you. He'll only speak to you. He'll only reach out and touch you if you're going to seek Him with all your heart. Unless you really, really try hard to find God, He's not interested in you. It's like, what? Now, it is true. It is totally true that God said in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. That's true. That if you search for God, He will be found by you. He makes that promise to you. But you know what? That doesn't mean that He won't seek after us, even if we're not seeking after Him. Because the fact is what Romans 3:11 says. It says, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Think about that. If you are a born-again Christian, you're walking with the Lord now, remember when you weren't. Remember when you had no interest in following God, in knowing what God has to say. God had to come after you. See, if God did not initiate things with us, we'd all be lost. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, Michelangelo, he got it right when he painted the Sistine Chapel. You know, when he did that deal on the ceiling with God and Adam. Have you seen that one? Most of us have. Most of you are familiar. It's where God is there. He's up in heaven. It's a painting of Him. And He's straining. He's reaching out to touch Adam. But Adam is kind of kicked back, and he's got his, you know, his elbow on his knee, and he's got his hand out there like that, kind of say, all right, God, if you really want to touch Me, go ahead. You know, I'm not going to fight you on this. But there's no straining on Adam's part on that picture. And that really is a good depiction of us, the way we are. That so often we're busy doing our own things and thinking that we're, you know, that we're okay, we're rad, we like our life, all that stuff, unless things really start crashing in on us. I was talking to some young folks yesterday out here. They're skateboarding around and that. And, you know, you could just see that. You know, dude, I'm fine the way I'm at, man. You know, one kid, he really did not want to be rude. His other friends, not so much. But trying to share with them, kind of thinking they weren't interested at all. They don't see their need. They just think, I'm fine the way I am. They're not searching after God, but I'll guarantee you God is searching after them. God loves them. He cares about them. He cares about you. He cares about me. See, it's true that Jesus will reveal Himself to those who seek Him. But He reaches out to all of us. Hey, remember what Jesus talked about, really describing how God is, about the good shepherd. In Luke 15, verse 4, Jesus said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? That's what God has done with us. Oh, every one of us, we're lost, we're wandering around. And God went after us. He sought after us. And that's what Jesus does. He is the good shepherd. And now let's look and see just how true that is. Let's look at that first resurrection Sunday and see how Jesus goes after people, how He reaches out, how He seeks out, even if they're not seeking Him, even if they don't believe in Him. We'll start with Matthew 28. Let's read the first four verses. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I love that account. I love Matthew's account of that. He gives us some insight there that, to me, I find pretty funny. You know, but it's awesome at the same time. And it's been noted that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, because He was already gone. You know, He was in His resurrection body, and you know, He could walk through walls. He could just appear in a room that with all the doors and windows locked. And we'll see that later on. But the stone was rolled away to let those who were seeking Him in, so that they could see that He was in fact alive, that He had risen from the dead. And this is the part that really cracks me up, that the angel had rolled the stone away and then sat on it. I can imagine, and maybe it's just me, but I can imagine the angel. And any time people saw angels in the Bible, man, they were freaked out. They were scared. They're not some little fat baby with little wings, you know, kind of thing. No, they were awesome creatures, man. And I can just imagine the angel sitting on the stone. And remember, that stone had been sealed. The Jewish leaders asked Rome to seal that stone and to put a guard there. And so the guards were there, but when the stone rolled away and the angel blasted that stone away and then sat on it, they became as dead men. And that seal was broken. And I think the angel was sitting there going, yeah, I broke it. What are you going to do about it? Because anybody that broke that seal, man, they had to deal with Rome. And the angel's saying, I ain't scared. You don't scare me. Come on, you know. And the thing is, you look at that, and if the angel did say, what are you going to do about it? We see the guards answer, I'm going to play dead. That's what I'm going to do. They were paralyzed with fear. That's how awesome that whole thing was. And the women are there. Verses 5 through 8 tells us, but the angels answered and said to the woman, or to the women, do not be afraid. Now, when somebody tells you don't be afraid, that means you're afraid, right? Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and indeed He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring His disciples word. The angel tells them, I know that you seek Jesus. See, there are people that do seek Him. And that was these gals. And their seeking would be rewarded. Look at verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held Him by His feet and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell My brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see Me. See, their devotion to Jesus, they're seeking Him. They're wanting to minister to Him. Because remember, they brought spices to further anoint His body. They didn't believe He had risen. They didn't believe He was going to rise. But Jesus rewarded their seeking. He rewarded their desire to serve Him by appearing to them. And He appeared to them first. Now, that's a big deal, that the Lord would appear to women before men in that culture. Because in that culture, women, you know, the whole equal rights thing and all that stuff, that had not happened yet. And the thing is, though, in court, in a court of law, women couldn't even testify. You know, they were considered as useless as far as the testimony went. So for them to be seen, seeing the resurrected Christ first, that tells us that the whole gospel accounts were not concocted by men. There are some of the skeptics that say, oh, that was just made up by the disciples. And they stole his body and hid it and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you were going to concoct a story back then, you would not say that women saw him first risen from the dead. You would not do that. That would be foolish for them. So that's another one of those little things that God throws in there to say, hey, this is real. But notice that both what the angel said and what Jesus said was to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Did you get that? Did you see that in both cases there? Go to Galilee, and Jesus would meet them there. Now Mark 16, 9 through 11 says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They didn't believe. In fact, Luke tells us it's even worse than that. In Luke 24, verses 9 through 11, it says, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. It seemed like idle tales. Some of your Bibles translate that phrase, idle tales, into what word? Nonsense. Their words seemed like nonsense. That's how much they did not believe that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Luke 24:12, the next verse says, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, that's Luke's account. John fills in some more details. So if you want to turn to John, you can, or we got it up there. John gives us a little bit more detail. And John, he says in John 20, verses 1 through 10, he says, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved. And that's John himself. He's writing about himself there. He says, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. John's got to let you know that he outran Peter, okay? He outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, got remind you that he got there first, went in also. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Man, let's just go home, kind of thing. You know, John got there first, didn't go in. But when Peter got there, he just went right in. That's kind of Peter's personality. Big, bold dude, man, just like, I'm going in, man, I'm checking this out. And John, he goes in after Peter doesn't turn to dust or something, you know. He's like, okay, well, Peter's okay. I'll go in there, check it out. He goes in and examines this stuff, and it's like, wow, he believes. But Peter still didn't. And you wonder, Peter, why? Why wouldn't you believe? Why didn't you believe, Peter? And maybe he thought it was too good to be true. I think it's another thing. I think that because of what Peter had done, Peter thought, man, even if Jesus is risen, what good's that to me? I denied him three times. Yeah, I denied him, man, right there, man, just bold-faced lied that I ever knew him. And he looked at me. He looked at me when I denied him that third time as the rooster crowed. Man, even if he's risen from the dead, he's not going to want to have anything to do with me. But you know what? That's not true. Because Jesus knew right where Peter was at. And Mark lets us know that Jesus reached out to Peter through the angel. In Mark 16:7, the angel, as he's telling the women, he says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." But you know what? None of them got up and went to Galilee. Not even John, who believed at this point, who looked at the clothes and said, "Oh, wow, just like he said. Yeah, he's really," he didn't go. And like Peter, a lot of them just gave up and decided to go home. "Nah, I'm just going home. Forget this stuff, man. Gosh." Yeah, and Mark 16, verses 12 and 13 tells us, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest. But they did not believe them either. Now, Luke gives us a lot more detail, and I kind of went back and forth whether I was going to read this whole thing, but I think it's important. I think to really understand and to get this deal of how Jesus is seeking after people that have given up on him, people that aren't seeking him, people that just kind of like, "That's it, man. We're done. This whole thing. I'm just going home." Luke 24, verses 13 through 35 just really speaks of this. He says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk?' And they're sad." So get that picture. They're walking. They got a 7 mile walk. It'd be like walking from here to a little bit past Walmart, Sholo Lake or something like that. And they're walking. They're bent. "Oh, man, I thought he was the Messiah, man. Oh, well, I thought he was going, oh, man, I don't know." And so those gals, though, you know, they said, "But where is he? I don't know." Okay, they're all bummed out and walking. He says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about? You're so sad. What's the deal?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" They're talking to Jesus. They don't know it. And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified." They crucified him. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So they give him this whole rundown of what has gone on. And they're bummed. And they're telling why he's bummed. "Then he," that's Jesus, "said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther." So they're saying, "Well, you know, we're home now, so, you know, this is it." And he said, "Okay, well, I'll catch you later." No. I'll see you later. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now I wonder, when he was breaking the bread, I wonder what really clued him in. You know, God doesn't want him to see who he is at that point. But I wonder, at breaking bread, you know, when he held the bread up and broke it, did they see the nail scars? Did they see those scars from where he was crucified? I wonder even, you know, sitting there at the table, they looked over, saw his feet, checked, that's Jesus! Yeah, and this time, at this time, by the time they get back to Jerusalem, see, Jesus has appeared to the women, he's appeared to Peter, and now to these two. But like Mark says, some of them still didn't believe. And because of their unbelief, they're still in Jerusalem, not Galilee. I think that's an important thing, that they haven't even started going to Galilee. But that didn't stop Jesus from loving them. It didn't stop Jesus from coming to them. Mark 16:14 tells us later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. See, they not only had the eyewitness testimony of those who saw him risen, but he had been telling them for 3.5 years that he'd be crucified and then he would rise again on the third day according to the scriptures. See, they had all of those eyewitness testimonies. They had the word of Jesus that he was going to rise again, and they had the scriptures. And folks, the word of God cannot fail. It cannot be broken. So when he appears, he says that he rebuked them. But you know what? It was a very mild rebuke. Jesus is so tender. In Luke 24, verses 36 through 43, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I, myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here? Like, I'll prove you I'm not a spirit, okay? Give me some food. I'll show you. I'll eat with you, all right?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence." Now, wrap your head around that. These guys, they hadn't started heading to Galilee like they're supposed to. They've had all of this testimony, and they still don't believe. And Jesus loved them so much that he came and he appeared to them. And not only does he appear to them, but he continues to give them more proof. He continues to give those people that were in doubt more proof so that they could believe him. Now, speaking of doubters, okay, in that meeting with his disciples, that first resurrection Sunday night, one of them wasn't there. That was the super doubter, doubting Thomas. In John 20, he tells us in verses 24 and 25, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now, Thomas had over 20 people telling him that they had seen the risen Christ, and he still wouldn't believe. Now, does Jesus blow him off? Does Jesus, you know, get so offended with Thomas that he says, "You know what? Go ahead, man. You just go ahead and go to hell, man. You just, you know, fine. I'm done with you. You're toast." And hits the smite button on him, you know, and that's it. No way. That's not what he did. In fact, John goes on in John 20, verses 26 through 29, and says, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them." See, he wasn't going to miss another church service. He ditched that one, you know, but like, Jesus showed up. "No, I don't believe you, man." But he's there this time. He's there with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." See, if you're a doubter, this should give you great hope. If you're somebody that has a hard time believing what the Bible says, believing in Jesus, this should give you hope. How patient He is, how loving Jesus is towards doubters. And think about this. Again, all of this happened not in Galilee, but in Jerusalem. He had said He was going to Galilee, but they wouldn't go. So He met them there where they were at. He met them right there in Jerusalem. And man, you know, His first appearance to Peter, that had to be either in or around Jerusalem, because Peter's still here. And then He appeared to the rest of them there that first Sunday night, right where they were at. He went to them. Understand, folks, wherever you're at with Jesus, if you're seeking Him, you don't know Him yet, but you're seeking, I want to know the truth. Or maybe you're disbelieving. Maybe you've heard some of the gospel before, but never heard it like you have this morning, as we kind of covered, you know, all four of the gospels there and kind of put all the stuff together so you could really hear what happened on that first Sunday. Or maybe, you know, there's things that you think you know, and you don't like the things that you think you know. Maybe you're still doubting. Understand, if you're willing, Jesus will meet you right where you're at, right here today. Because Jesus wants you to believe in Him. And you think, why? Why is it such a big deal that I believe in Jesus? What's what He told this religious guy in John chapter 3, verse 16? Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's why He wants us to believe in Him, so that we would have everlasting life. It's all about us. Isn't that an awesome thing about God? That it's all for Him. It's all about us. His love towards us. His desire to spend eternity with us. He loves us that much. He gave His only begotten Son. And all we have to do is put our faith in Him. Believe in Him. Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." See, that's why He wants us to believe in Him. Because there's no other way to get to God. No one else died for your sins. No one else paid for every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. No one else did that. Only Jesus. And that's the only sacrifice that God will accept, is the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And that's why He wants us to believe in Him. He knows our weaknesses and still wants a relationship with us. He will meet us where we're at. And again, maybe there's things you don't understand. Maybe things you think you understand and you object to. It doesn't matter. Maybe you think you've been so bad that He doesn't want anything to do with you. I think that's what Peter's trip was. I think Peter thought that. But even after denying Him three times, just bold-faced lying about Him, with Jesus looking on, Jesus still reached out to him. He still wanted Peter. And you think about the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. God wanted him. And you know what? Paul, before he was Paul, was Saul of Tarsus. And he hated Jesus and he hated Christians. He was arresting Christians, putting them in prison. And in fact, when Jesus met him, he was on the way to a city called Damascus to arrest Christians and put them in prison, to persecute them. He was a horrible persecutor of Christians. But Jesus still reached out to him. Jesus still sought him out. That's the kind of God that God is. That's the kind of God that we serve. In John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Understand that. He won't turn you away. In fact, if you're here today, I believe God is reaching out to you. You've heard the truth, But now it's your turn. You need to respond. It's your turn to respond to His invitation. And He gave that invitation in Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." See, He's standing at the door of your heart and He's knocking. Will you let Him in? Let's stand up and pray. Father, again, we thank You. We thank You for Your great love, Your mercy, Your grace. Oh, Lord, Your grace is amazing. And Father, right now, as we're praying, Father, I believe that there's some folks here that You are reaching out to, that You have spoken to during this time. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help them to open their hearts to You. Lord, that You would come into their lives and change them and bless them. And right now, while you're standing there, if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you want to be forgiven of your sins and put your trust in Jesus, that He died on the cross for you, that He rose again from the dead, just raise your hand right where you're standing. Raise your hand there, and I want to pray for you. And then I want to pray with you. Is there anyone at all? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, I see you all the way in the back. Two back there. Anybody else? God's knocking. And you know it. But are you going to answer? If you answer, He'll come in. He's not going to turn you away. Anybody else? Father, those that have raised their hands, I pray for them. I pray, Father, that You would make their commitments real to You. That You would make this a real thing. That this just wouldn't be some emotional thing or whatever. But, Lord, that this would be real between You and them. That they would understand the depth of Your love. The depth of Your grace and Your mercy. Father, make this real. And even for those that haven't raised their hands and should, Lord, You know who they are and they know who they are. Father, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. In Jesus' name. If you raise your hand, and even if you didn't, and you know you should have, I want you to come on down here. You know, Jesus called everyone publicly. You know, He called everyone publicly to stand and to stand with Him. And if you raise your hand and come on down here, we want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer that you would receive Christ, that you would pray to Him, and that we want to give you a Bible. We want to give you a Bible study. We want to help you along in your relationship with the Lord. Anybody else? You know, anybody that raise their hand and come on down. All right. There were some more. Come on down. We'll wait. Anybody else? God sees your heart. He knows your need. Let Him touch you. I want to pray with you. Okay.
You know, if you were too embarrassed to walk down, it's okay. Just see somebody here, like one of the guys there, or the worship team, or myself afterwards, and we'd love to pray with you by yourself. We'd love to give you a Bible if you need one, Bible study to get you started with, something to work on at home. But God loves you. And I know most of you. Most of you are already saved. Most of you are walking with the Lord. And man, you're saying amen to this lady coming down. And you're saying amen to the things that we read in His Word. And for you, God bless you. Go with Him and know that His grace and His mercy endures forever. And that He loves you. And He continues to reach out. Even when you mess up. Even when you sin. All you got to do is come back to Him. Confess to Him. And He forgives. Let's praise Him with one last song.